We all said together, amen, amen. Superhuman. If I can draw your attention again to verse 27, where Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Jesus says here in the passage that all things are possible. I think that when we think about all things being possible, especially with God, all things being possible doesn't necessarily mean that all things are going to be easy. We are dealing in a moment and a time in our lives, whether we're talking about what's happening in America in terms of the virus, whether we're talking about what's happening to African Americans, whether we're talking about what's happening in your country, in your continent, wherever you may be. I've got friends in Ghana and friends around the world. We're all facing challenge. There's all difficulty that's in front of us. I think sometimes we can almost be surprised by the difficulty that we deal with, by the challenge that we deal with, by the inconsistency that is life, the inconsistency that seems to be our situation very often. I was saying to someone the other day that I've come to the understanding that life is challenge. I know I've said it before, but life is challenge. Ministry's challenge. Life is hard. Ministry's hard. Church is hard. Kingdom is hard. I know Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's true, but it's still a yoke. It's still a burden. There is a challenge that is life. And a part of the challenge that is life is inconsistency and unpredictability. Things that are not consistent. People that are not consistent. Things that are unpredictable. People that are unpredictable. And a part of the job of kingdom and the word and the principles of the word is to take the consistency, the hard, the steady of the principle and apply it to the inconsistency that is life. I think we have to be careful because there was almost a recommendation or a world in which we started to treat the concrete or the principle or the hard of the word as if man was created for the hard, not hard created for man. Jesus says, Sabbath was made for man, not man for Sabbath. So, for example, if we think about it right now, the roads that we travel on, those roads have been there a long time. Sure, there are some new highways that they've cut, but most of us travel on roads that have been here for a while. And 100 years ago, 150 years ago, 200 years ago, those roads were dirt roads. They were bumpy. Even with cobblestones, they were bumpy. They were inconsistent. And we now have something, this thing called concrete. Honestly, what's interesting about concrete is that it's made from sand, my God. So that out of sinking sand, out of something that is unpredictable, is created something that is solid and hard. And we laid the hard and the solid on top of the unpredictable. It's a road, but we laid it on top of it for the road to be smoother. That's the word. The word is here to make the crooked straight and the rough places plain and for the glory of the Lord to be revealed, but for us to still face the fact that life is hard and situations are hard and things are tough. Sometimes I think we're just looking for the easy button. I don't know if you remember that commercial some years ago. I don't remember what business it was that had an easy button. I think we just want the easy button. But the word is saying, Jesus here is saying how hard it is. There's some things that are difficult. And getting into the kingdom is difficult. And the more you have, the more difficult it is to get in. My Lord, and none of this is even my point, but I got to get back to my lesson. But I hear the Spirit of God speaking to some of us. Think about it. Sometimes it's even easier to get to the Lord, or even easier to get to the kingdom, or even easier to have a relationship with God when you've been lowered, when you've been humbled. It's almost as if the less you had, the easier it was to come to God. Once you were broken down, once you lost the job, once you lost the money, once you lost the man, once you lost the situation, then Isn't it amazing how easy it is to be penitent when you're humbled? Jesus is saying, yeah, the more stuff you've got, the harder this is. And if you think that I came here just to make it easy, I didn't come here to make it easy. I came to make it possible. My God. Yeah, when they say, my Lord, it's hard. Jesus didn't say, oh, it's not hard. It's easy. No, no. He said, yeah, you're right. It's hard, but it's okay. Because the things that are impossible with man become possible with God. Possible with God doesn't necessarily mean easy. Can I get a witness? I know I need to get off this point because it's not something I really am trying to say tonight, but I feel the Holy Ghost right now. And for us to understand that just because something is possible does not mean it's simple. Just because something is possible does not mean there's not going to be some things that are unpredictable. One of the mistakes that we've made in the body of Christ is we want to make everything predictable. We want a word of knowledge. We want a word of prophecy. I hear you, me too. And we want to act like prophecy and words of knowledge are infallible. But the problem with them is that there's man involved in it. Men are involved in that. And so now, because a man is involved in the prophecy, it becomes imperfect. Even this word I'm sharing with you right now, it's the perfect and the hard and the consistent of the word over top of this imperfect man, this imperfect vessel trying to communicate the perfection of the word. We want that prophecy. We want that word of knowledge to be dead on because we don't want to face the unpredictability and the difficulty that is kingdom. We want to just say something easy like, oh yeah, well, this is who God wants to be president. Instead of us thinking, okay, let's fast, let's pray, let's hear, let's understand all of the issues, because we have to understand that kingdom isn't easy. It's not as easy as that. Well, this is who God told me to marry. I hear you, but we want something like that because we want it to be easy. We just want to be able to say, oh yeah, well, I prayed and God said Shaquanda to me. And so now I don't have to test and approve what his will is. I don't have to say, oh yeah, they have a demon. That person has a demon. Because we want it to be that easy. Well, let's cast the demon out. But the problem with that is that it indemnifies behavior. What do we do about behavior? What do we say about free will? And so we do these things because we want it to be easy. Well, my aunt died and she was 57. Oh my God. Well, God took her. Well, God wanted her. Well, God needed a flower in the garden because we don't want to wrestle with the hard that is kingdom. I know I'm talking to somebody besides myself. This kingdom thing is not easy. The disciples are amazed at his word and says, my God, well, who then can be saved? And Jesus says, yep, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Gets me back to my lesson. Can I put that on the screens for you? All things are possible with God. Can you say that? Can you say that to your neighbor? Can you say that to your husband, to your wife, to your friend? Can you say that to your child? All things are possible with God. Jesus says it here in Mark chapter 10, all things are possible. Can you say that? All things are possible. Sometimes we just have to get a good confession and say all things are possible. Again, notice, I don't want to beat the point to death, but I'm not saying all things are easy. I'm just saying they're possible. All things are possible if you can believe. Hallelujah. All things are possible with God. And a part of the point of this is to face the impossibility, to face the difficulty. That is life. That is marriage. That is children. That is birth. That is pain. That is miscarriage. That is sickness, that is disease, that is cancer, that is who to vote for, that is politics, that is racism. To face it and to involve God in it, to help us with the difficulty of it, not to hide behind super spirituality to do away with the fact that it's still difficult, that all things are possible with God involved. Can we say it again? All things are possible. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. I gotta move on. This is a good part of our devotion. All things are possible. I'm encouraging myself because I know I'm not the only one that's facing things that are difficult. But just because they're difficult doesn't mean that they're impossible. All things are possible. When we say all things are possible, what do we mean? Well, there's a couple of things that we mean, and I'll throw them on the screens for you in case you're taking notes or just to help you read them, because when you read, it gets into your mind. First thing we mean when we say all things are possible is we mean, number one, God can do anything. God can do anything. Can you tell somebody that? God can do anything. Can you put your hands on yourself and say, God can do anything? God can heal. He can heal my body. He can heal my back. He can heal my cancer. He can heal my sickness. He can heal my mama. He can heal my brother. He can heal the mental illness. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything. God can heal. God can save. God can save my business, save my ministry, save my marriage, save my church, save my teenager's mind, deliver my son from drugs. God can do anything. God can open doors. Just a few things God can do. He can do anything, but God can open doors. I was having a conversation with a young man, and he was telling me about this job that he's gotten into, this business that he's gotten into, that he's just so blessed, and there's all kinds of things that are happening for him. And I mean, he has a GED. And I said to him, I'm like, yeah, because anything is possible. It doesn't mean it's easy, but anything is possible if you can put your faith in God. Can I get a witness? Anything is possible. God can open doors. When we say all things are possible, we mean God can do anything. When we say all things are possible, the second thing we mean is, or that I mean, I want you to agree with me, is I can do anything with him. Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is my strength. So God can do anything, then I can do anything with him. It doesn't make any sense for me to say what I can't do, because with him, I can. With him, I can get over this. With him, I can forgive. Well, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to forgive. Well, with him, I can forgive. I can forgive with him. I can move on with him. Well, I'm dealing with grief right now. Well, I can move on and reach the stages maybe without him, but with him in my life, I can do all things. I can forgive. I can say I'm sorry. I can love. I can love again. I was having a conversation with a young man, and he said to me after this, you know, after what he's dealing with right now, he says, I just don't want this family thing. I just don't know if I can do it. I'm just not interested in doing it anymore. And I'm like, well, be careful what you say. Don't say what you can do or what you can't do, because the whole point of the word and prayer and worship and the scriptures in the kingdom is to say, yeah, but I'm going to get God in my life because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I say anything is possible, all things are possible, I mean, number one, God can do anything. I mean, number two, I can do anything with him. In myself, I can't do it. In myself, I'll fail him, but I can do all things. There's nothing impossible with God in the boat with me, in my life. Surrender to him. I can do all things with him. And then the third thing I mean, which is the point that I want to get to tonight, and I'm about 16, 17 minutes in, is that I can be anything. I can be anything. I put the B in caps. I can be anything. The disciples asked Jesus here in Mark chapter 10, well, who then can be saved? Man, Jesus, with the way you're talking, getting into the kingdom, who can be saved? Who then can actually qualify to be, not just to have, but to be, not just to have a God that could do anything, but to be, not just to get anything, but to be. I can be anything. That this can transition from acquisition to my actual presentation, my identification. It's more than just me getting something, it's me being something. Oh, hallelujah, I know I'm talking to somebody. That I can be anything. It makes me ask the question, well, what can I be? And what I'm saying we can be, as a matter of fact, it's what we have to be, is superhuman. Superhuman. When I say superhuman, I mean human, but more. That I, of course I'm human, but in my humanity, I can be more than just a mere mortal, more than just a mere man. In my humanity, I can say, well, in myself, I'm just a man. But with God on my side, I have access to be more. Very often, people just want me to settle for human. They're just like, well, this is where I am, and this is what I'm dealing with, Pastor Andy. This is how I am. Sometimes my children, sometimes my spiritual children, sometimes people I'm close to, sometimes my friends, sometimes my family, and I get it. Sometimes folks that I talk to that I'm counseling, they want me to sympathize with their humanity, and I do because I'm human myself, and I have to sympathize with my own humanity. But I can't settle, though. I can't settle for it in you. I can't settle for it in myself. I have to demand more. And it's not just because it's me, or it's not just because of who I am or my perspective. It's because I'm in my 50s. I don't let my if you're wondering, who is this guy? Yeah, I don't let my goat and I don't let the grays. I've been on this planet long enough to realize that life demands superheroes. I'm putting that on the screen. Life demands superheroes. Life demands superhuman ability. Life demands it. Life doesn't just say, oh yeah, just be. If all you are determined to do is just be human, life will kick your tail. I want to say something else, my God, but it's devotion, it's Wednesday night. Life will knock you down. Your teenagers will run over you. Your four-year-old will run roughshod over you. Your job will kill you. The system, the culture, the racism, the politics will take you out of here. If you will settle with mere humanity, this life, you only got one to live, will never be what it can be if you're willing to settle for just what your humanity will allow. Life demands superhuman ability. Life says, well, you have to be superhuman to do that. You're going to have faith. You're going to have to be superhuman to do that. That I understand that when the word says anything is possible, that means that you can be anything. I speak that over you right now. You can be anything. You can be anything, not just get anything, but be anything. You can be superhuman. When we look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, and I was turning to it, and when we look at verse 3, Peter is, the apostle Peter is saying to us, yeah, God's divine power has given us everything we need for godliness, for life and godliness, for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness, that he has given us this access to participate in the divine nature. that divine nature. Those two words almost don't go together. Divine being heavenly, not of this world, and nature being natural of this world, that his divine power has given us access to things so that we can participate in a nature that is divine. So that you can participate in a nature that is greater than just the normal nature. So that you can say, okay, well, this is what is normally in the natural, but I want to participate in the divine nature. My God, I want to participate in something that is superhuman, more human, but more. Touch with the infirmities, but more. Aware of the difficulty, but more. Understanding that it's not easy, but still more. Dealing with the difficulty in reality, but still more. That I can face that and say, yep, and I'm going to be better than the average bear. I'm going to be more than what I normally would be if I just allowed for just what I can do as a human. If you think about it right now, we've spent a lot of time scientifically over the last 100 years or so kind of defining what it means to be human, defining what it means to be a man. There have been theories that we evolved from animals and all of this, almost to alleviate us of the pressure of walking according to a purpose that is divine. Let's do away with an intelligent designer because we don't want to deal with the expectation that comes along with divinity. We want to be able to just point and say, but that's human. At the same time, we have a tendency to condemn people whose flesh leads them into a life of evil. I watched the whole Jeff Epstein thing on Netflix. I mean, come on, it's Corona, we all locked him. I watched that whole thing, the Filthy Rich thing, and I sat there and watched it, and I thought, my God, imagine to be corrupted by the flesh. But isn't that human? Isn't the point of kingdom, church, God, religion, any higher power? I mean, this is church. We're talking about Jehovah and Jesus Christ. But isn't the point of it for there to be something to drive us beyond what we would do in our natural self? Superhuman. So when we say God can do anything, and if we just take those three things I said before, God can do anything, I can do anything, I can be anything. Anything is possible. God can do anything, I can do anything, I can be anything. If we apply that template to these few verses, it just makes sense. Because when we say superhuman, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, Peter says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. So God can do anything. As a matter of fact, Peter is saying God has done everything. His divine power has given. Past tense. His divine power has given us everything. We talk about God doing anything. Peter is saying, actually, God has already done everything. His divine power has given us everything we need for a life that is godly, for life and godliness. I keep trying to quote it in the NIV that I memorized. And his divine power gives everything we need for life and godliness. That's old school NIV. The new one says for a godly life, which is nice, but I like this better. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Has given. Past tense. It's already been given. It's already done. It's already done. We sing a song like that that says it's already done. It's already done. The battle's already won. It's already done. Sometimes I think we can spend a lot of time asking God and trying to get the Lord to do something that he's already done. It's already done. It's like this FedEx package. I had ordered something from FedEx and ordered something from someplace, and FedEx was shipping it. And I reached out to the company and was saying, where is this package, this thing I had purchased? And their response to me in the email was, it's already shipped. It's already been delivered. I said, well, it hasn't been delivered because I don't have it. They gave me the tracking number. The tracking number said to me that it was at FedEx. When I contacted FedEx, FedEx said, yes, we tried to deliver it. We needed a signature. You weren't there. It's here. You have to pick it up. My God. There's some things God has already done. It's already been delivered for many of us. It's already been preached. It's already been communicated. You weren't there to receive it. Now it is waiting for you to pick it up. That His divine nature has given us everything. The question is, will you access it? He's given us everything through our knowledge of Him who called us. The knowledge and the calling gives us access. It's already done if we can simply access the calling and the knowledge of it. The second thing we said was, we can do anything. God can do anything. Peter says He's already done everything. We can do everything, meaning He's saying that He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. God has given us everything we need for life. We can do anything because everything we need for life has already been given through our knowledge of Him, through the calling that He has on our lives. He has given us everything we need for life. He has given us everything we need for godliness. The challenge of that is, it means that there's no excuses. I already have it. I already have it. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him, who has called us by His own glory and goodness. So there's a call on your life. There's a call on my life. And if I'm obedient to that call, and if I walk in the knowledge that I have of Him, then I can do anything because I get access to the everything that He's given us, everything we need. I feel like I keep making the point over and over, but everything we need is connected to the call and the knowledge of Him. I don't know if you're like me, but I have found myself disconnected from anything is possible because I just refuse to be obedient to what He was calling me to do. For a long time, I was running from my call. For a long time. I was in a situation where I was like, well, this is what the Lord wants me to do. I'm sure I'm not the only one. I mean, look at my time. I'm sure I'm not the only one that was like, yeah, I mean, this is what the Lord wants me to do, but that's not what I want to do. It just reminds me, I hate to talk about them all the time, but I love my sons. Two of my sons, right now there's almost this kind of little battle of our will. And what I'm saying to them is almost everything I'm saying to you, 95% of the things that I'm saying to you are for your good. They're not for my good. They're for your good. Now, there is a 5-10% that does end up being about my good, because this is my house and that is my car. And that is, but really, most of it is because I care for you. And the struggle and the wrestle that you're dealing with me has to do with the fact that you want to go your own way. Oh, Lord, I didn't step on somebody's toes besides just my own. Now, you've gone your own way. You're chasing after your own will, your own purpose. You're not acknowledging the knowledge that you have access to. And now you find yourself unable to do the things that you know you should do. How many of us can say, man, my God, that's me and the Lord. I'm in this difficulty because I'm not walking according to a calling. I'm in this difficulty because I'm not accessing the knowledge of God. I'm in this difficulty. The reason why this marriage is like this is because I did not ask God his will. I did not access his knowledge. I was not interested in his calling. I wasn't asking him what he wanted me to do. I did my own thing. I went my own way. And now I find myself unable to do something because I did not partake of the, I did not access the things he gave me to access. God can do anything. We can do anything. You can do anything. There's no excuses. You already have it. If you really think about it, you already have it. The challenge for all of us is we want our cake and eat it too. That's why I talk about my son so much, because they're us, they're me. I want to go my own way and still access the power. I want to do my own thing and still access the wealth and the resources. I want to do my own thing and still have favor. I want to go my own way. I want to live a life that God kind of doesn't really approve of, and the Lord still got my back. that all I have to do, it's what God said to Cain. He said, what are you upset about? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? The right is there. You know the right to do. My God, you know the right to do. Whether you were raised in church or raised around the things of God or not, you know the right to do. One of the things that's so interesting about this current time that we're living in is we are just determined to fight to do wrong. Let me get to the last one because I'm out of time. My God. The third point is God can do anything. Come on. Yeah, anything is possible. Am I talking to anybody tonight? Anything is possible, meaning God can do anything. Peter says he's already done everything. We can do anything if we just access. And we can be anything through our knowledge of him. He has given us these very great and precious promises so that we can partake or participate in the divine nature. Through these, verse 4, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. That word there is a Greek word, koinonos. I don't give the Greek a lot, but I'm going to throw it on the screens for you. Koinonos. That partakers or participators. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them we may participate or partake of the divine nature and escape the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. Escape the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. Escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. The corruption that's in the world that's caused by greed. The corruption that's in the world that's caused by hate. The corruption in the world that's caused by sexual desires that are evil. The corruption in the world, the corruption that we're dealing with is caused by desires that are evil. How can I escape that? For me to escape that, I'm going to have to koinonos, I'm going to have to participate, I'm going to have to partake of divine nature, of a nature that is greater than human, of something higher, of something divine. I can't say koinonos and not think koinonia. And koinonia means fellowship, meaning that a significant part or a significant way that I participate in superhuman power is by who I'm with. The partaking and the participating, which is koinonos, koinonia, That's fellowship. That's who I'm with. That's who I spend time with. That's who I'm around. Might I suggest to you, for your consideration, beloved, is that if you find yourself disempowered, you need to figure out who you're talking to, who you listen to. If all of a sudden you are full of fear, you need to reevaluate who you listen to, who you're talking to. I was talking to a young woman and she said, oh, well, I've been talking to my mother every day. And I'm like, wow, isn't it interesting? You're talking to your mother every day. How is that helping you? The one woman that said it to me, she said, oh my God, my prayer life's going to another level. I said, that's awesome. That's amazing. That's great. Keep talking to your mama. Someone else is like, well, they don't want to admit it, but they're more fearful than ever. I was talking to one of my sons in the ministry, young man who's here with me, powerful young guy. And he was talking to me about being ordained. And I said, well, we'll ordain you in time. Don't worry about it. We'll ordain you. But I don't want to be in a rush to ordain. Sometimes we're such in a rush for the religious ceremony of it that we miss the spiritual significance of it. You got to be careful who you let lay hands on you. I don't just let anybody lay hands on me. You have to be careful who you spend time talking to. You find yourself robbed of faith and robbed of belief and robbed of hope and robbed of your ability to get over what you should be able to get over. You might need to look at your koinonos. You might need to look at your koinonia. You might need to figure out, who am I talking to? Who is in my life? Who is in my oikos? Who is in the circle that's next to me? Because if I'm going to be a superhero, then I got to join the halls of justice. I'm never going to be a part of the super friends if I'm in the Legion of Doom. My Lord, that's just old school. Sorry for all of you that are old like me. If I'm going to be superhuman, then that is enabled by the connections that I make, the relationships that I have. Who do I talk to? Who do I pray with? Who do I have conversations with? And are those connections, relationships, conversations, are they taking me up or are they dragging me down? I can do all things through Christ. I can be anything in Christ. Anything is possible with God's involvement. And his expectation for you and for me is that we'll be superhuman. I know it's a hard word. I know it's not easy. It's a tough word. Who can accept it? But as a result of this superhuman power, I have access to divine nature. And as a result of that divine nature, there are things that I'll be able to do that I could not do without the Lord in my life. That's my prayer for you tonight, is that you will be able to access power that you could not do without God. That like Peter, you'll say, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. I know I'm not the only one. Right now I'm facing a situation which I'm like, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Peter could have said, Lord, if it's you, let me lower the rowboat and row over there to you and give you a high five. But that's not what he said. He said, Lord, if it's you, give me a power I could not have without you here. I want to walk on this water. I want to do something that is unheard of. I want to do something that my eyes have not seen, my ears have not heard, your mind has not conceived. Give me access to power that I would not have if you weren't here. Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Lord, if it's you, give me miracle power. Don't just do a miracle. Give me the power to participate in this nature that is clearly divine, because you have defied the laws of gravity and are walking on the water. Give me that power. I want to be superhuman. I can be anything in Christ. Gives me strength. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for our time together tonight. Thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet. As we pray it all the time, you're a light into our pathway. The entrance of your word, it sheds light. Thank you for this moment. I pray for every person that's watching right now. God, I pray that through this touch right now, Lord, through the screen, through their phone, through the camera, that God, they will participate in divine nature. They won't just hear a good word or hear a good sermon. Lord, I thank you for your word, but I pray, God, that this word will pull us into a power that's divine. Even me, God, pull me higher. Lord, take me higher. Pull me into a nature that is higher than my normal nature. With long life will you satisfy me. Give me power. Help me to forgive. Help me to persevere. Give me patience. Give me wisdom. Lord, give the people that are right now, every one of us, God, that's our prayer. Give us wisdom to do things like you do. Lord, give them power. Give them access to power, not just access to stuff, access to participate in the divine nature. Strengthen us, Lord God, to reevaluate who we talk to and who we spend time with and who we're around, what conversations we have. Oh, God, lead us and guide us into truth. We'll praise you for what you do and say. You're worthy in Jesus' name. We all sit together. Amen. So glad you're with me tonight. And trust you're getting something out of these, out of this. I'm going to be back here next Wednesday. I'm going to be sitting right here. This is good. I'm going to sit right here next Wednesday night. And I'm going to pick up. I'm going to share on this some more. I feel this superhuman thing. I've got all kinds of questions that are in me right now. What does Peter talk about next? I want to see you next Wednesday. And this Sunday, we have our services, 9, 1130. We're live. We are having live worship services. They're reaching around the world. You can let someone know. You can share the link with someone. Someone who needs to experience the word of God and the will of God and the power of God. We're so glad you're with us tonight. And we want you to know that this is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith and our trust and our prayer is that you won't just get something from us, but that you will be pulled to be more as a result of the power of the word of God.